Hey, welcome to the Happy Ramp Podcast. I am Ted Kluck, joined as always in studio by my good friends, my partners in radio, Barnabas Piper and Ron Martin. Pipe, tell us about our long-term partners, our life partners in radio, Dwell Bible.
Yes, Dwell Bible is our seemingly lifetime partner. I don't know that we've entered into the bonds of sponsorship matrimony, but pretty close. Dwell is an audio Bible app who we use and we enjoy. If you go to dwellapp.io/happyrant, you can check out their offers for our listeners. A little bit about the app. They have multiple Bible versions, multiple narrators. They have musical backgrounds, listening plans. Right now, they are offering a Lent plan, so a way to walk us up to Easter. But they have all sorts of different ones. Psalms, encouragement plans. They have features to help study and memorization. They have a sleep feature, so you can go to bed listening to scripture and it'll cut off automatically. Or, you know, put your kids to bed with them listening to scripture and then it'll cut off automatically. So just kind of all this stuff that they continue to build out. What they're offering to our listeners is a 10% discount off of the annual subscription or a 33% discount off of the lifetime subscription. So two very good deals. Again, that's dwellapp.io/happyrant. Go check that out. We also want to remind you about our coffee mogul partnership with Redbud City Coffee Roasters. If you go to redbudcoffee.com, that's redbudcoffee.com. It's a family-owned coffee roastery out of Illinois, and they have a whole variety of roasts. They kind of rotate through depending on what's available. But if you use the code HAPPYRANT at checkout, you get a 10% discount off of your entire purchase. You can get like wholesale size bags if you're somebody who drinks a ton of coffee, or if you wanted to get it for your church, for example, the same discount applies, or you can just get the standard 12-ounce bags for personal use. Again, use the code HAPPYRANT at checkout and get that 10% discount also. So those are our sponsors, and we are appreciative to them.
Excellent, Piper. They make a delightful cup of coffee, the good people at Redbud City.
Yeah, recommendation, their Brazilian, I think it's called the Brazilian Honey Roast, is my favorite. It's the one that I go back to repeatedly when I order. So recommendation to listeners, check that one out.
Love it, Pipe. Good work, as always. Boys, we got a couple of topics dialed up. And Ronald, you shot us a text in the pre-show production meeting, and I want to debut a new segment called Ron Martin's Misogyny Minute.
I think I'm gonna log off, boys.
Ron Martin's Misogyny Minute.
That's all right. We can talk about it without you. Okay. It's probably better for you to be here and do it yourself.
Well, absolutely. So.
Okay, I'll log off then.
Yeah, no, this is a thing you sent along. It was a tweet from Jennifer Michelle Greenberg. And she said this, she kind of used the hard return to great effect here too. If you hear a sermon like this, stand up and walk out. If a counselor gives you advice like this, stand up and walk out. If your husband treats you like this, you're being abused. If your pastor treats you like this, you're being abused. And then a picture of a pastor. And my first thought, and I want to hear you on this, Piper, was, oh my gosh, I hope he's not from Tennessee. You know what I mean? Like he had a certain kind of florid, like mid-South look to him, and I'm like, you know, maybe
Tennessee have to do
maybe Missouri, maybe Tennessee.
We both live here, and we want no association with.
Well, I mean, fact that you both live in Tennessee and Nashville is in Tennessee means you only practically live with guys like this, so. Judas.
Well, either that or we live with guys who look like Toby Mac dressed up as a Peaky Blinder.
Yeah, we live with last week's Nashville's episode. More it's Peaky kind of Blinders. Blinder. Out where I am, it gets a little more like this. But at any rate, Ronald, this is your segment. You sent this along. I didn't click on the link, but I kind of got the gist of it from Jennifer Michelle.
You should click on the link. You really have to click on the link because you have to hear. It comes off like an SNL thing. You almost can't believe it's real or he's being serious,
yeah.
Except he is.
Oh, there's video.
Completely real. Yeah, there's a video.
I'm looking
It's short, and it's there's nothing. You literally can't believe what you're hearing.
All right, well, let me play a couple seconds of this, and then you can get into it.
And ladies, here's the thing you need to move them in.
Okay, Ronald, I've got a question right away. Why is there a picture of the Stanley Cup, like hockey's championship trophy, at the top of this video?
Oh, dude, I had no. I'm obviously I don't see stuff like that, so I don't know.
Yeah, you look right past it, don't you?
Yeah, well, yeah, I'm not really noticing the trophy. I'm hearing the words, but
you're hearing the misogyny.
That's true. The intro bumper is literally like just a picture of the Stanley Cup with no words,
no context. It's like no context Stanley Cup. It's bizarre, Pipe. Let me get a couple more seconds into it. Oh, and he pulls up the meme.
So, okay, why is it so many times that women, after they get married, let themselves go?
Oh, I see where he's going. All right, that's probably enough.
I mean, it gets better. It gets so much better.
Yeah, I'm sure it does. Now, what do you want to say about this, Ronald? I mean, clearly, this is one of those topics. It is very... like funny, not funny, but there's only kind of one way to talk about it.
So quick recap for listeners. Basically, his whole thing is women are at fault for men's failures because women let themselves go and they're not taking good enough care of themselves, not attractive enough. Thus, Jennifer Greenberg's statement that this is abuse, which is pretty accurate, and why this is worthy of a conversation.
Okay.
But then, you know, kind of drops little details like we can't all look like trophy wives. And he puts up a picture of First Lady Trump, literally on the screen, and then says, so we may not be able to all look like trophy wives, but can we look like provisional trophy wives? Maybe not that far in, but you know, like a fifth place trophy wife kind of a thing.
Is that the Stanley Cup? Like, this is about trophies?
Oh, I get it now.
Yeah, that's one of his angles, is kind of using the phrase trophy wife as if it's a good thing. Like, that should be aspirational for
now,
wives.
I might be stating the obvious here, boys, but this guy himself, like,
yeah.
Who does he think he is? Brad Pitt, this guy?
Well, there's the thing. I mean, the double standard of this like, dude up there that needs to, how shall we say, drop a few. And is kind of coming against like all the ladies in the congregation about keeping themselves, you know, appearances up. You know,
yeah, it's so wild.
The irony is insane. You know,
yeah, it's evil because he said it. It's ironic because he's chubby, and he's got like the black Dickies shirt on.
Yeah.
That's just like it's the tent shirt that tries. You know, he's under the impression that wearing black makes you look slim.
Yeah.
And it's.
Dude, now that black Dickie shirt—it's
not working to the effect that he's.
Yeah, that looks good on a certain kind of guy, but I don't know. I don't know if we're getting there here, but
not that we want to get into critiquing.
No,
there's just
goodness gracious.
That would be we would never do.
No,
such
oh,
a thing.
we're way but, too professional.
The irony was worth.
I want to ask you guys a question because you guys are both men of the cloth. You're pastors, so it seems like every couple of months we get one of these, and it kind of like. Flies around the internet, and we try to talk about it on the show, and there's really no way to talk about it because it's just kind of speaks for itself or whatever. But I want to talk about the kind of like energy that this provides for you guys, because clearly, like it's an invitation to look at this guy and go, he's a clown. I'm doing better than this. I'm not like this. So there's the kind of performative aspect of. You're only able to comment on this in a certain way, and you only would comment on it in a certain way. But I think this like energy of, you know, look at this idiot pastor. I'm not like him. It's sort of a new energy because prior to like a decade ago, you didn't know what other idiot pastors were doing. You know what I mean? So how does a video like this like circulate around the pastoral community, and what does that look like for you guys?
I think, Ronnie, correct me if your observation is different, but it only circulates on social media. Like, this is not a thing that will ever come up in the church office.
Yeah, like, your lead pastor is not like, hey, guys, take a look at this. Don't be like this guy, you know?
Yeah, he's not like, this is a thing we need to respond to kind of thing. This is a, like, it gets absolutely crushed on social media. I'm grateful for the podcast because it gives an outlet for sort of the humorous riffing on this thing. You know, there are the very serious responses, which are, to a great degree are justified because there are people who are hurt by these men. I mean, the women in this guy's church are in a terrible spot. But it really only exists on social media in terms of the pastoral response, if you will. You know, there's a lot of pearl clutching on one hand. There's a lot of joking on the other hand. Jared Wilson made the, like, this is a bad thing to say, but it's really bad if you're fat joke. And just called the guy out. So Jared beat us to the punch on that one. And
did he take a little heat for that, I'm guessing?
Oh, I doubt it. Just because when a guy says something this egregiously bad, it's pretty hard to stand up for him. I'm sure somebody was like, fat is a triggering word. We don't use words like that. But I think it only exists in social media in terms of a heated response. I have stuff like this never comes up in person, at church, whatever.
Right. Ronald?
And Ronnie might have made it the agenda for his staff meeting. I'm not sure.
I think you're on point, Pipe. I mean, I think what it is, there's a couple of things to it for me. One is just you watch something like that and you're shaking your head and you're like, dude, was this from like 20 years ago? Wait, you know, was this from, you're like trying to find some way to not believe that this didn't just happen. And even if it did happen 20 years ago, it doesn't matter, but it's just to think that, I guess we think that we tend to, in some degree, even if it's a tiny percentage, in some degree, we tend to think, hey, things have progressed. There is a particular kind of advancement that we've made to where even if someone feels this way, man, you're going to hear a lot less of this kind of like vocalizing in the pulpit and, you know, this kind of, you know, degrading to women kind of like, you know, talk. And so then you see something like this and you believe it, but you believe it. It's funny. It's not funny. And I think there's something about it that is, you just go, oh man, it's just the human condition. There's some aspect of despair in, you know, to it where you just kind of got to stop and go, oh man. And then Pipe, what you said, I mean, if you're a woman at this church and there were probably women who were cheering him on, which is just baffling and bonkers, you know?
Well, who are you to tell a woman what to do? You know what I mean?
Right. It's just unbelievable. You don't know what to do with it. Like you said, Ted, it's like, what do you even do with that? It's so outrageous where you just go, it's almost like so on the chin, you know, the whole thing.
Yeah. The thing kind of speaks for itself.
Yeah.
Yeah. He is his own incrimination. Can I ask a question that will walk us right out onto thin ice, particularly in the realm of telling women what they should and shouldn't do? So this guy says this, really, I mean, I don't even know what to call it. Evil, stupid. It's a whole mix of heinous. However, and I'm not going to defend him, but the thing that comes to mind with this is it seems to me that the majority of like women's influencers, women's events, women's, you know, Christian speakers give the impression of perfection.
Sure.
You know, perfectly pulled together outfits, perfect hair, perfect everything, and at least just a super pulled together image. Mm-hmm. And those are the people who are trying to uplift women. He's just a degrading jerk in this case. These are people who are trying to uplift women. Is that a mixed message though? Like trying to uplift women, but also kind of giving the impression that you need to look like this, have this sort of generally perfectly pulled together image appearance. I don't even know if it's safe to ask that question. And you guys could just remain silent if you don't want to get into this, and we'll just awkwardly transition as we do.
I know what you're at. Be a little more specific. I'm not sure I know what you're asking. You got it?
Okay.
Yeah,
so
I got it.
So think like – so picture – so Ronnie, picture with me like a women's conference at a large
–
at a large church. The speakers that they have lined up are usually women between the ages of like 28 and 45, who, you know, they have each of them has invested in headshots that are like everything is sort of crafted and perfect in their presentation. When you see a panel of them on stage, perfect outfits, you know, perfect jewelry, perfect hair, everything is just right. And so the overall impression is that to kind of be a successful, godly, growing woman or a woman leader is to fit that mold.
Well, yeah, I think, I mean, you bring up a really good point. I think it's one thing to make you, because you could say the same thing about some dudes, right? Like, it's one thing to make yourself presentable and to want to look the best.
Oh, and we absolutely have.
Yeah, we have.
Dog on those dudes all the time.
Right. So, like, it's one thing to say, hey, I just want to look the best that I can look. Everybody's going to kind of do that, regardless of where, you know, what their image is or where they're at in their physicality. So that's one thing. I think the thing, what comes to mind when you say that, Pipe, the thing that comes to mind to me is, it seems like when we talk about women in general, the thing that we tend to center on is their beauty. And I think that's just, I think that's just part and parcel of our culture, right? When we talk about a woman, when even a man talks about a woman, you know, in other words, to uplift them, we would say, but you're beautiful. Whereas if you're talking about a dude, you would say, nah, man, but you're a really smart guy. You know, and like we just like even the kind of phrasings that we use. But like
what if the dude you're talking to is legitimately like a smoke, though? You know what I mean? Do you ever say, dude, you just got really nice cheekbones?
Like you're just a handsome dude, right?
Yeah,
for sure. But you don't generally say that. You know, for a man, it's more about his intellect, and for a woman, it's a little more about her beauty. And so I think that's just something that's been in sort of it's something that's formed, you know, from the culture for forever. You know, for so long. That whole thing just continues to perpetuate, you know?
Yeah,
I mean, a woman has to be beautiful, a man has to be smart. But we never just say about a woman, oh, but man, she's so smart. It's maybe she's so beautiful.
Well, I mean, I think, not to declare war on our industry or whatever, but like legitimately to sell a certain kind of book as a woman or a guy, like unless you're hanging your hat on the like, I'm Don Carson and I have multiple PhDs thing, which shout out Don Carson, good looking older guy, whatever. But like, unless you're hanging your hat on that, I mean, you gotta take the press photos. You gotta like, you know, wear the big hat with the flowing like mane of hair underneath it. And like, you know what I mean? You're selling a certain kind of image, and there's a certain degree to which fame is aspirational anyway, you know? So, I mean, you're giving people a certain kind of image, I guess. And we can debate the merit or lack of merit in that in our industry, but that just seems to be kind of how it works.
Yeah, I think what both of you guys are saying is kind of, I was trying to circle something that I couldn't quite articulate, just sort of the sense of, it seems like there is unfair, undue pressure on women to appear a certain way all the time. So this clown says it in the most obviously stupid way. There's the subtle just pressure of, oh, you need, like, you have to kind of match this standard. And then there's the less subtle, like, yeah, if you want to sell a book, you need to have, like, you need to sort of fit the PR mold. Totally. Unless you're like Marilyn Robinson and you just are a wizard with a pen, right, who's also like, you're just kind of past it and you live in a small town in the country, like,
well,
sort of the female Wendell Berry.
She's writing stories. It doesn't matter what she looks like. We're not really reading.
Yeah,
we're not reading her. We're reading her stories.
Guys, serious.
That's a good point. Because, yeah, that's a really good point. Because all the other books that we're talking about are the ones that are like, there's a sense of follow my lead. And with her, it's like, read this story.
Guys, do you think we made it to where we made it in the industry because of our looks?
I mean obvi.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't want that to be why I made it, but maybe it is.
I don't want to be why I made it that way, but I didn't make it that way. That was forced upon me by
that's
the culture.
It.
And
I
have to accept that and receive it.
By a structure that's evil and wrong, but, you know.
But that I secretly am very happy about.
I mean, is this a stewardship issue? Do we need to steward our looks a certain way? You know, so if this is what God's given us, like, are we like the one talent, the five talent, or the 10 talent person? And how are we using these gifts?
Our writing retreat is actually
not gifts?
A spa weekend. You know, we're getting some, we're just taking care of some things that weekend looks wise.
Yeah, you know, I'm a little pallid after the rather gray winter, getting a little bit of that glow is really going to help book sales, I'm sure.
That's right. Mm. Absolutely. Mm. Absolutely. Well, this has been the three of us saying the right thing for about 20 minutes. We're great guys. Just terrific people, all three of us.
Terrific looking too, really. I mean, feel like we just need to reiterate.
Yeah, I mean, if you want to buy a book for that reason, you came to the right place.
Boys, forget the books. If you guys want to stay married for the long haul, I mean, there's some things you need to step up into, I think is what he was trying to say to women via men, by a man, to women, through men, to men. Mm.
Ronnie Martin, great guy.
So really,
PhD, almost.
I think, you know, if he's allowed to get away with that, I think we should be allowed to get away with telling men, if you want to stay married, you should probably hit the elliptical on occasion as well.
That's true. Street runs both ways.
I mean, yeah. I don't know. Maybe not in his church, but I feel like that's a thing that we could say fairly. Is like, you know, get a gym membership and use it.
Well, he classified, if you watch to the end, he classified a particular weight that women get to as a divorce weight. And I kid you not. He said, so have you hit that divorce weight? In other words, you're at that weight, which is going to cause your dude to sort of wonder if he should, you know, stick with you or not. You know, so that's the question I have for all of you. I mean, are we at that divorce weight?
Dude, I think
it's more of a divorce body mass index. Weight is a fungible number, and it's more of a BMI issue.
There you go.
Man. You guys want to talk about something else? Are we good?
Yeah, let's do something. Like, I don't know. What else? Oh, yeah, your student sent you a text about something. We should talk about
that. Yeah, it's funny. It's actually, this isn't my student per se, but... So my best friend from college, his son is now in college, and he goes somewhere. He doesn't go to my university, but he listens to the show, and he texts me like show notes from time to time. And after the ep that dropped, I guess last week, about crazy teaching about lust, he sent me the following. I'll just read it. Nowadays, the teaching about lust is having some hip youth pastor coming and graphically talking about how sex with their wife is literally the most amazing thing ever, and that porn and masturbating or sex with someone that isn't your wife is nothing compared to how amazing sex with your wife is someday. And then he sent, like, the facepalm emoji. My question to you guys is, again, being in the church business, is this how it is nowadays? And that strikes me as... terribly uncomfortable just on a day-to-day basis for the youth pastor's wife, who has to like walk around the church and get her kids out of the nursery and just be seen by people.
Yeah, and for anybody who wants to be like a decent human being around her.
Right.
That's very awkward.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, like you've heard things you can't unhear, and that strikes me as, again, like we're missing the mark, but we're missing it in a different way.
Yeah, I mean, it's like strikes me as like it's so like keep it real culture. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's like so like you know so like youth group back in the 80s and 90s. It's like it wasn't presented to kids in its like raw undiluted form like it is now. I feel like you have license now for some reason, and not everybody, of course, but I feel like some youth guys, depending on their context and their denomination or, you know, whatever their tradition is, they're allowed to just like keep it as real gets, as raw as raw gets. Like they just get right up to the line and they're allowed to dip their toe over the line, like as much as they want, you know, because again, man, we're trying to keep it real, you know, and it's like, I don't know. I didn't have that experience, you know, with my dudes.
Oh,
it
no.
was just,
yeah.
I mean, dude, that, I mean, they would talk about some serious things in terms of sexuality, but like, it never got graphic like that. You know what I mean? It was like, it was always pulled back, you know, to where it was like this safe spot so that when you went back and you told your mom and dad asked you, so what'd you guys learn today? What'd you guys do tonight? Like you could literally tell them in a way that they would say, that's good. You need to learn about that stuff. You know, not that I need to be the one that teaches you that, but you need to learn about that stuff at youth group, but it wasn't anything gratuitous. And I feel like we're just like, you're allowed to be gratuitous now in the, you know, in the name of just keeping it real, you know?
That's wild, dude. Yeah. It's just wild.
Well, and I think there's this crazy notion. I mean, I don't think it's just youth pastors. I think it's just a lot of teachers, but that to try to teach a Christian ethic of sex, you have to kind of outweigh the good with the better. Because it's like, well, clearly sex is a temptation that's pretty great anywhere. So how do we pitch our version better?
Right.
And so they just lean into that instead of like backing up and going, okay, what is this actually supposed to be? And how can we give students in this case an understanding that that's realistic and also without degrading our wives? And yeah, it's there's just such a misconstrued notion about what it takes to help people understand like what sex should be, what it shouldn't be, what's place in your life, what it like the draw of temptation versus the promise of something else.
Yeah.
And the fact that this idiot, this hypothetical collective youth pastor idiot, is promising that married sex is like the be all end all
right.
of everything means that he's been married for about 7.5 minutes.
Yeah. He's already like already lying about things that he hasn't experienced.
Sure. Now,
so yeah, the whole thing is like, oh, this is a mess at every single level of this. His understanding of the Bible, of sex, of marriage, of honoring his wife, of communicating to students. He's essentially setting every young man in that youth group up to view his wife in a way that he would then beat them for viewing her as.
Right.
So that seems problematic to me.
It does. Now, Ronald, I have a serious question for you, and this is 100% earnest. You are in seminary right now. You're at a very good seminary in a PhD program, learning lots of things. Is this thing that we're talking about like covered in any of your classes? Because it seems to me that like, you know, we throw these you know, hipster youth pastor guys in front of a bunch of our kids and they've like not thought about this yet. But I don't know, you're in the advanced degree track right now. Is there like a unit on this? Do you guys go like a half a semester on how to not be a terrible youth pastor in this area? What does that look like?
I don't know. But I'm doing a DMin, not a PhD, just to clarify. But
oh, yeah.
I don't want everyone to think I'm that great. I don't know, man.
Oh, can I just compliment your humble braggery? That was amazing.
Humble
just
braggery?
Yes.
How was that braggery, Pipe?
The like leaning into your educational standard while also downgrading it. It's, you know, it's like if somebody called you a bestseller, you're like, no, I've sold quite a few books, but I'm not a bestseller.
Oh, okay. Well, I'm
sort of that.
I'm not a PhD student.
I don't think that was your intent, but it was really well played if it was.
Okay, I'm a PhD student.
There you go.
So in England, your cohort meets in Oxford.
I don't even know what the question was.
Oh, I love your scarf.
Exactly. What was the question, dude? Oh, the question was, do you guys cover this in seminary at all? Because it seems like a kind of a big deal, but nobody knows how to do it well.
Well, I don't know. In my PhD classes, you know, we haven't quite covered like youth group sexuality and how to communicate that yet. So, yeah, I don't think it's going
to. Dude, why not, though? Like, I feel like this should be covered, you know?
Well, I don't know. I think it probably depends on the class. I don't.
Yeah.
I'm in the middle of all these, you know, leadership classes, which I guess it could be covered in that. Right. But
yeah,
I don't know. It's not diving down. It doesn't dive down that deep. That's the thing that I've learned about seminary over all these years is like, they really do keep things at more of like a knowledge based. I mean, there's application and all that, but
yeah,
like to get down into it to that degree. And a bunch of dudes that range in the age in ages of like 25 to probably like 68 in this class. Dude, that would be that, which would actually be super interesting, right? You get some of these older dudes.
Yeah.
You know, some of these younger dudes. Like, I don't know.
It'd be fascinating. You know? I don't know. Yeah. I think they should do it.
Well, I'll bring it up. I'm going to bring it up today.
Bring it up, man. Text Jared when we get off the program. Tell him Big T had an idea. Baby, who do you hang out with in those classes? Do you hang out with the 25-year-olds or the 68-year-olds? Or kind of split the
day? I feel like the younger dudes are the ones that always are like drawn to me.
Sure.
In terms of dialogue. Uh-huh. But I don't know. You know, I'm not youth pastoring them. So I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know what the deal is. But that seems to be more of what it is. Well, and some of them have like, they listen to the program. They've heard, you know, so they're like, they listen to the pod. And
sure.
So they kind of know me from that. So it's kind of.
So they're under the impression that you are friends.
Yeah, it's interesting because you got to do this
works,
weird.
Dude.
Well, you got to do this introduction thing at the beginning of every class, and then inevitably, I get like for this new class I just started, I got these emails sort of off the grid which were like, oh, hey, I didn't want to say anything, you know, in front of everybody, but dude, I've been listening to the program for 3 years, you know, all that kind of stuff. So it's kind of funny. But
boys, the reach that we have with this thing is unbelievable.
Oh, man. It is.
What I heard Ronnie say was our next live event should coincide with one of his doctoral seminars.
There you go. Pipe. Kansas City.
Brilliant.
Kansas City.
Dude, let's get to Kansas City.
And we should invite all the local youth pastors and talk about how to teach on sex.
Boys, we got to get to KC.
I think that'd be a great topic.
As soon as possible.
I'll see if Jared C. can hook
that
up.
That, have you ever said that sentence before?
No, literally never. That's the first time.
I'm just dying to go to Kansas City.
That's it, dude. We can make a little Marshall's run with Jared C.
Yeah. Barbecue, a little beef.
I like it.
All right, this is going to make me not welcome in Kansas City. Kansas City barbecue is the most overrated barbecue I've had in this entire country. So, listeners, come at me, bros.
Pipe, is that the variety that's kind of sweet and cloying, or is that the more like vinegar-based barbecue?
Nah, vinegar is more like the Carolinas. It's sweeter, and it's all like beef barbecue instead of pork. And they love something called burnt ends, which basically just means we don't know how to cook brisket. That's what it comes down to.
But those burnt ends are good, though, Pipe, let's be honest. I mean, that's good stuff.
Oh, they're so overrated.
Well, that may be true, but they're still good. They're crispy, right? No? You don't like them?
Yeah, I mean, they have a little bit of crunch to them, but they're just it's not. I don't know. It's like they tried to do Texas barbecue and didn't succeed, and we just lost all of our Kansas City listeners.
Tough,
sorry,
dude,
guys.
It's going to be tough to sell a live show ticket now, Pipe.
Yeah, I just undermined my own great idea.
Absolutely. All right, so Jared C., sorry, the Spurgeon Center, just cancel the whole thing. We're done. You know,
it's not going
to work out.
Good thing we have that $500,000 book deal to fall back on, you know.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
That $500,000 book deal.
Exactly. Boys, I'm going to close this one so we can do a Patreon. And,
yeah, I would love it if you close this
and just get it done. Yeah, this is the worst show we've done in a long time. It's interesting.
Since when, do you think? Months?
Well, this is
Christmas.
What happens. The misogyny minute didn't really set us up for success, I don't think. We might need to...
Maybe the misogyny minute's not a... Maybe it doesn't have long-term earning power for us, but I don't know. We'll tinker with it. Boys, we've done what we always do in this program. We've actually done what we haven't done in a long time, which is do a terrible show. But we have done that. And until next time.
The Happy Rant is brought to you by Resonate Recordings. If you go to resonaterecordings.com, you can see the full range of services they offer. So if you're considering starting a podcast, they are the ones we recommend going with. Again, go to resonaterecordings.com to see their prices, to connect with them and ask any questions, and to see what they can do to help you launch, edit, master, and improve your podcast. Again, go to resonaterecordings.com to see what they can do to help you launch and improve your podcast.
Has fear stolen your peace? I'm Jennifer Slattery, lead host of the Faith Over Fear podcast, helping you fight your fears and grow your faith. Subscribe at lifeaudio.com.